Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Inside Track, Equibase's weekly handicapping podcast, where we give our analysis, picks, and wagers for a couple of the weekend's top races. I'm your host, Ben Kula, and I'm joined back again today from a little holiday hiatus is Corey Patton, the CEO and co-founder of Permana Labs, which creates all of these stat lines, handicapping content on Equibase.com. You can find those top plays on the homepage and stat lines on the entries page for each and every race, every single day, at every single track. So welcome back, Corey, on the show.
Always good to be here, Ben. I need to go get my Permana hat to match your race lens.
Yeah. Yep. Put me on the list. I'll take a Permana hat.
It's in the mail.
Good deal. Speaking of the stat lines top plays, there's another one today. This is Thursday, December 5th, by the way. We're recording this, but it's the fourth race at Fairgrounds, but it's my favorite stat line. It's where like the fourth place, fifth place, and seventh place finisher all came back to win their next start. The horse's name is Prodigy Paradise at Fairgrounds. So I'm going to be betting that one. But yeah, be sure to check out those stat lines. There's some really, really good golden nuggets in there to bet.
I love the key race ones where they don't show in the post past performances. You have to dig further, and this just illuminates it for you. I love them. They usually hit too.
They do usually hit. Yeah, I'd probably hit the last three in a row doing that. So, but anyway, so fantastic races last week. I don't know if you were watching it all, but man, Formidable Man taking that Grade One Hollywood Derby at Del Mar. Me, Ormano Ramon scoring a 120 Equibase speed figure in his win in the Grade Two Del Mar handicap. Godolphin and Saez swept the stars of Tomorrow 2 Day at Churchill, winning the Goldenrod with Good Cheer and First Resort in the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. I was actually there personally, and both those horses just, wow, especially Good Cheer. I was watching her in the paddock and blown away.
I was riding First Resort for a long time. That was good to see finally get that victory. Good.
Yeah, we'll see if Godolphin takes another one of these two-year-old races here in the Remsen. But today's show will be going over the Grade 2 Remsen Stakes, the Grade 2 Cigar Mile Handicap at Aqueduct, and finish off on the West Coast in the Grade 2 Starlet Stakes at Los Al. So let's go with this Grade 2 Remsen Stakes. Here at Aqueduct, a mile and an eighth on the dirt for two-year-olds, a road to the Kentucky Derby race with 10 points on the line. Some legendary horses have won this race in the past. Gopher Gin, Thunder Gulch, Bluegrass Cat, Honor Code, Heyman, Overanalyzed, to name a few. Last year's winner was Dornock for trainer Danny Gargan with Luis Saez aboard. What a race that was. Dornock was passing the stretch by Sierra Leone and came back on the rail to win by a nose. That was a thriller. But obviously we know Dornock went on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of the Youth Stakes, the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and the Grade 1 Haskell Stakes this year before being retired. So I'm excited to hear your pick. Who do you got in here?
When you looked at this race, you said, okay, you've got either up-and-comers or you've got folks that have been just knocking in some stakes races, right? And so you have to decide, where are you on horses that may be taking that leap forward or those that are have been knocking at higher class levels, right? And I decided, when looking at this, I decided to go with Key Waden. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
And that obviously Key Waden comes out of a maiden race, won a nice maiden race, scored an 88 Equibase buyer figure for Chad Brown and Dylan Davis. And if you looked at nothing else on the page, but just that, I'm going to give you some stats. Dylan Davis over the last 10 days at Aqueduct, he's 6 of 15, 40%. That's the best winning percentage at the track over the span. Nine times in the money. Chad Brown and Dylan Davis have won 10 stakes races together in 2024. They're pretty good together. They are 32 of 127, so 25% together all time over the history of their riding together. 31% together in 2024, and they're 10 of 27, 37% together over the past 90 days. They can get it done. So then you move past that and you look at the running line of this horse, okay? And that Saratoga maiden race on debut gets Pratt to ride, faced Tip Top Thomas in the first race and lost by a head there. Thomas came out of that race to run a very nice second to your Hall of Famer, Chancer McPatrick in the Champagne. Found his best stride late and ran a really nice race there. Then put it all together and dominated a short field. Key Waden did in his next race, going 7 furlongs, at 20 cents on the dollar. And so when you look at the competition that he faced, losing to Tip Top Thomas, coming back and dominating a field, looking very professional, if you think this horse is good enough to face the likes of Chancer McPatrick and Tip Top Thomas, he's good enough to face the likes of these in this race. Hasn't run around two turns yet. That's a little concerning. The sire Instagram, mm-hmm. It's at about 18% with Progeny going a mile or further on dirt. And, you know, I'm not in love with the breeding. It's not royally bred, but the dam has dropped a bunch of winners. Instagram himself was very precocious, winning the grade two best pal by 10 and a half lengths at age two.
You know, I will give you a stat. Sorry to interrupt on Instagram there, but actually on dirt first routes, he's a plus 191% ROI, 21% win percentage and 50% in the money.
Yeah, I was supposed to be the guy with the stats, Ben, but you've got me there. I didn't even look that one up. But hey, on a positive note, you know, Key Waden's one for one on the track. I don't think the extra distance will be an issue. Chad Brown can get it done. All, you know, moving a horse from maiden special weight to a grade two race. He's done it 13% of the time he wins. I think this horse might even be on the lead and take him all the way around. We'll see. So I like Key Waden. I think when the morning lines come out that we don't have him out yet, I think he might get a decent little price there. And I like that horse to kind of take a step up in class and perhaps get the job done for Brown and Davis.
Love it. Yeah, that was definitely my second pick. And like you said, just Davis and Chad Brown alone, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Yeah, and they're at 31% they're winning in stakes races at Aqueduct and Belmont in the Big A in the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. Nuts. But I'm going to go a little different route here. I'm actually going to go with Poster, coming from turf to dirt. Another undefeated two-year-old Godolphin homebred for the Owen Hardy barn. Same connection as his first resort, who we saw win that grade two Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill last week. Won his debut race in a maiden special weight at Ellis Park, going a mile on the turf. Won last time out on October 12th at Keeneland and Allowance, 110 non-winners of two. Also a mile on turf, both those wins with Bejarano aboard. I think the jockey change to Flavian Pratt here is absolutely huge. Pratt wins at 21% in the last 5 years when first time riding, 524 wins from 2,497 starts. Not to mention, it's been a huge year for Pratt. He's just two graded stakes wins shy of the record of 55, set in 2003 by Jerry Bailey. Pratt's winning at 34% in route stakes races in the last year at Aqueduct, including Belmont at the Big A, 13 wins from 38 starts and 25 in the money. Poster will be making his first career start on dirt, which can definitely deter some better. So I'm hoping for a nice price. But in the past 3 years, Owen Hardy wins at 33% and 78% in the money with two-year-olds going from turf to dirt. Small sample size, three wins from nine starts, but seven in the money. Poster is ranked second in early pace, first in middle pace, and third in late pace. Ranked second in average speed with an 83. And actually, Raceland's true odds give him a 39.3% chance to win. So Godolphin has just been absolutely on fire with another three graded stakes wins last year. And I mean, I think they have like $19 million in earnings this year. And I think the next highest owner is like $8 million. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think they've won 4 years in a row at the Eclipse Award for outstanding owner. So I'm going to ride the Godolphin train. I think Kuwaitin's going to take a ton of money. I kind of disagree with you there that he'll be. But I could be wrong. That's why I hate these morning lines coming out so late. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think more in the 9-2 range, my guess. But we'll see. I could be way off, but, you know, morning line wise. But, you know, I mean, Owen Hardy is 27% with two-year-olds, so he can get it done with precocious youngsters. And I do think the Pratt angle is it's huge. And let's face it, it's huge. No matter where he shows up, you got to take notice. The turf to dirt probably doesn't scare me as much as it would some, you'll have to see. Who knows on that one? But what do you do with your old friend Studley Do-Right?
Yeah, Studley Do-Right. Yeah, I mean, heavily raced, you know, for a two-year-old colt by Nyquist for the John Robb barn. But he's one for one in this Aqueduct dirt. Three wins in 2 seconds from six starts, career consistent horse. Ran in the money besides that grade one hopeful where he finished seventh to future Hall of Famer, Chancellor McPatrick. But that race, Studley Do-Right, he did hit the gate and was bumped. So I'm willing to cross that one off. Increasing Echo Bay speed figures his last three starts, averaging speed of an 80, ranks him fourth in here. Average class of an 87, which ranks him first in late pace with 100. Coming off a really nice win in the Nashville Stakes. Breezing well at Laurel. John Robb wins at 23% with domestic shippers and stakes races. So I like him, just not enough to go over Poster. Definitely add him for exactas and tries, but I don't know if he has enough to get it done right on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. I think the scenario will be interesting for him as well, and to see how that sets up. But the one that I looked at in here, which was interesting as well, was the other Brown, of course, the Aviator Gooey. Mm-hmm. And if you look at that race, it's interesting race lines. Goes 7 furlongs to Saratoga, tries to get on the sod at Belmont of the Big A, and gets it taken off the sod onto the dirt and wins his race. And it's probably his best race he's run so far, and then gets him back on the turf. Just didn't really handle it that well. It was fine. I can forgive that effort, and it's likely better over the dirt. But that race, 2 back when taken off, wins, and then the second and third place horses have already come back to win maiden special weight races in their next out. Just absolute excellent breeding. Give Chad Brown everything he sends out, has a shot. I looked at that and said, that horse may really perk up back on the dirt again and might be something to look at a decent price.
Yeah, I definitely looked at that horse as well. Two things came to mind. I think for just Manny Franco, I think if Pratt really wanted that horse to ride, he would have gotten the mount. And I don't know, Chad Brown really hasn't been talking up these horses as much as he usually does. And they've been actually, the Brown Barn has been very quiet in December and in the end of November. I think the past 2 or 3 weeks, they just have like 4 or 5 wins. So I don't know. We'll see though, but obviously Chad Brown can get it done. And I do like Kuwaitin.
It shows you his productivity when you look at the past performances and it says, oh, only 18% so far on there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's low for him. But all right. Well, there's your grade two Remsen on the road to the Kentucky Derby. I'm going with Poster and Corey is going with Kuwaitin. So let's move on to the feature race of the week. Absolutely stacked grade two Cigar Mile handicap at Aqueduct, a mile on the dirt for 3-year-olds and up. Last year's winner was Hoist the Gold, who romped by 4.5 lengths at odds of 8-1 over Senior Buscador for trainer Dallas Stewart with John Velasquez aboard. Senior Buscador is entered on Saturday looking for redemption from last year, following his most recent 5th place finish in the Breeders' Cup Classic on November 2nd out at Del Mar. Is he your play in here?
I have Locked in here.
Oh, I could not choose between Locked. Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
Here, look, this is just an upside play for me. This is a bunch of quality animals in this race. I think it's just loaded. If you look at the money, the millionaires in this race, it's just insane, right? It's great. I love it when you see these guys just running their eyeballs out every race they've got. And Locke to me looks like one that may be set and ready to come back and be a factor on this circuit. And, I love that effort in the comeback of almost a year off, right? And almost a year off comes back and just decimates an AOC group over this track in October. That 3rd place horse already came back to win. Look, Locke was super well regarded as a 2-year-old. And if you look at the running lines, has faced the best of his crop, Fierceness, Muth, Just Steal, the Wine Steward. You keep going. It's just, he's run against nothing but talent last year before he went off. And he was last seen in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in November before that extended break, right? So he's running great, great races. If you watch the last race a bit, and I went back and looked at it and tried to analyze it, and it's Pletcher saying, okay, here's a good one. We know where we're going. We're pointing for this race if you show us some encouragement. And Johnny V really did encourage Locke for the first half of the last race. But when he hit the stretch, the horse just said, okay, I got all this, and we're good to go, and just kind of wrapped up and cantered home and just won by 7.5 lengths, right? So it was a really easy race for him. Didn't exert a ton. I think we'll be likely sitting somewhere off Mulliken, depending on how the pace sets up. May come from slightly off, maybe slightly forwardly placed. It depends. He's kind of versatile depending on how the pace sets up. But, if he improves off that comeback race from that 100 equity speed figure, I think he'll be really tough. Since January 2023, so we're talking almost 2 years now, Pletcher and Velasquez are 3 of 8, 38% together at Aqueduct. So they get it done. They're 6 of 7 in the money together over the past 45 days. And the only knock I could really come up with, other than the fact it's a salty bunch, is the Lasix's off. Not sure how that'll affect him, but he's run without it before and run very well, incredibly.
Yeah, I don't think it's really going to affect him that much. He was able to win a grade one. So, and obviously there's no Lasix in grade ones. So,
I'm going to take the lightly raced Locked in comparison to the rest of these.
I love it. I went back and forth between Locked and Post Time a million times. I think what really locked my decision was the fact that he scratched out of the grade three Perryville that same day. And I was like, okay, is it because he's based in New York and they wanted to keep him there? Did they not want to run him in a graded stake? Were they just aiming for this and just wanted an easier prep? I don't know. But to me, it was more of a negative. So that's why I decided to go with Post Time, coming off a great effort, finishing second in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile by a length and a half to Full Serrano. If you go back and watch that race, Post Time was dead last, 13th, going into the final turn, and just started to move up along the rail, going into the stretch. There was just a wall of horses in front of him. He stayed on the inside, found a hole, and just made a really nice move, finishing really well. Surge at the end, scoring a 109 Echo Base speed figure. You know, it's always a question mark with those horses coming off Breeders' Cup race or a Kentucky Derby or a Saudi Cup, you know. But he's been working well at Fairhill since the Breeders' Cup, and some stat lines for you. Sheldon Russell and Brittany Russell are winning at 38% and 81% in the money in the last 45 days together. That's really impressive. Not to mention this horse has just such a consistent year. 4 wins, 3 seconds, and a third from 8 starts. 2 starts in this Aqueduct Dirt with a win in the Grade 2 Carter Stakes back in April, and then a second place finish to Messier in the Grade 3 Westchester. He came back to run second in the Grade 1 Met Mile behind National Treasure, then ran third in the Whitney to Arthur's Ride and Croupie, and then wins the listed Polynesian lengths, Polynesian Stakes, excuse me, at Laurel by 11.5 lengths, and then runs second in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, beating Domestic Product, Skippy Longstocking, Muth, Seize the Gray. You know, he's also running against top-tier horses, just like Locked has.
Oh, yeah.
100% in the exacta at this mile distance, 2 wins and 3 seconds from 5 starts. Is the best late pace rating in this race as well, with a 116.5. Ranks second in average class with a 111, second in average speed with a 107. I'm all on Team Russell on this one. Yeah, I really like this horse a lot. If you can come back after a tough Breeders' Cup loss, but
it is rare you see again a race with this quality. And a horse like this in here, where you could take a stand against it. I mean, there has to be enough quality in here to even look at a horse that's 14 of 14 in the money career. Never been worse than third in his career. And being campaigned across all these grade ones this year. I mean, has been campaigned pretty hard, you know, across the country this year. And maybe that catches up. Maybe that catches up to him. Maybe it doesn't. But man, Post Time is a consistent horse. I could see why you'd play. I think Locked, in my mind, might have the jump, but we'll see. Look, that last race was awesome. Take enough out of him in Del Mar, flying back across the country, or is that just not a thing that affects this horse, considering look at the 14 of 14 in the mud race rank record.
Right.
I think it's an exceptional horse. And, again, they're 76% in the exacta over the last 45 days together. I mean, that's great, right? And so I think they can get it done. They've proven it. It's a good second horse. That's the one I've got that'll be right behind. So I would do Locked over Post Time if I was playing this thing in a straight up exacta. But I did have a question for you about the highest money earner in the group, and Senior Buscador. What do you do with Buscador?
I think you add him for exotics. I don't know, 1 for 6 this year winning. I think that Saudi Cup and Dubai World Cup just took everything out of him, at least for the rest of the year before a long layoff. I don't see him winning this race. I could be wrong, but it was an interesting classic, and that probably took a lot out of him too. I mean, so I think he needs a little time off if I were Todd Fincher, but obviously I'm not a trainer, so I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, no, I'm actually just going to pass completely. I think that horse, again, has never been the same horse coming back from the Middle East. And I think it's just runs in spots, runs nicely, gets good figures, but it's a really tough bunch. And I just don't see where the pace scenario sets up nicely for him. What do you do with Mulligan?
Oh, man, really interesting horse in here. I think it's a great shot. Another horse having a fantastic 2024 season, 4 wins and a third from 5 starts. And the only third being in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, other than Straight No Chaser.
I mean, I'm going to let that one be okay. Losing Straight
No Chaser. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the 4 Go Stakes, the Grade 1, won by 5 3/4 lengths, running 107. Flavian Pratt, of course, is a huge plus. Yeah. Pratt and Brissett went at 31% in graded stakes races together in the last 3 years, 5 wins from 16 starts. In the past 3 years, in all races, they win at 27% together, 17 wins from 64 starts. So I think you definitely got to add him. I think he'll be way over bet. But we'll see.
Again, it just goes to say what this is, this type of race is. But you and I seem to be kind of locked in on the top two. in our minds. We'll see what they go off as. I'm all in on Locke to show a career best performance on Saturday.
I'm all in on post time. Love it. I'm so excited to watch that race. And that is a ninth race on Saturday, 3:35 p.m. post time. And let's move on to the West Coast. The Grade 2 Starlet Stakes at Los Alamitos, a Road to the Kentucky Oaks prep race with 10 points on the line. A mile and 16th on the dirt for two-year-old fillies. Bob Baffert has won this race the past 7 years in a row. I mean, I should have pulled up the stats. I don't know if anybody's won a graded stakes 7 years in a row before. But that being said, last year's winner was Nothing Like You, who romped by 5.5 lengths with Juan Hernandez aboard. Baffert has 3 of the 7 entries here on Saturday. Will this be his 8th Starlet Stakes?
Well, look, Baffert owns this thing. Baffert also owns Los Al. I mean, since January of 2023, this is an insane stat. Baffert is winning at 50%, 22 of 44 at Los Alamitos Racecourse in January of 2023. 22 of 44. Okay. Oh, I've never seen a stat like that with that big a sample size ever. All right. Oh. And on the flip side, Mike McCarthy is just 2 for 32, 6% lifetime at Los Al Racecourse, which is why I'm going with McCarthy's look forward in here. First out off of So yes, I am. I'm bucking the Baffert train and going with Mike McCarthy's look forward. I think I'm doing it because I just saw something in that first effort, which says, man, the rest of these horses in here, including all three Bafferts, including Vodka with a Twist, have just been beating each other up. They've been running against each other. You see them taking turns in their running lines everywhere. And sometimes when you see that, it's just, hey, this is the West Coast crop, small fields, hard to make some sense of super small fields like that sometimes. And you look for a horse that may be just getting better or might be just a cut above in general and just is ready to show it. And I think Look Forward is. He posted a 90 equibase speed figure, setting those fractions of 21 and 4 and 44 and 4, and just won easily in 110 and change over that Del Mar strip at very first asking in November, on November the 8th. And in that race, he was trained by the late Ben Cecil, who tragically passed away last week. And condolences to that. Cecil, when he trained, was known for racing his horses into condition and not usually winning at first asking. And so when you look forward, it was Cecil's only first time starter winner, one for 16 in the past 5 years. And he was 4 of 51, 80% in the past decade at first asking. So to win like that from the rail at first asking for a Ben Cecil trainee says there's a ton of upside here in my mind. And I just think that the sire, Bolt de Oro, also won at first asking over the Del Mar track with a 92, very similar race figure, then won a stakes next out, the Del Mar Futurity, and then subsequently, you know, went a route of ground in the front runner and won at a mile and 16th right after that. And the pattern might hold for his offspring here. That 59-1 that's on the paper, that workout, I mean, on the 24th of November says all systems go in here. McCarthy does win at 29% with horses that won their last start. The figure I said about Los Alamitos, not great, but McCarthy is 3 of 6, 50% in stakes races over the last 30 days, 5 times in the money, a $2 ROI of 663 there. He's 1 for 3 in stakes races at Los Alamitos over the past year. So one of those victories is there. I mean, you got to look at Redham paid, you know, nearly $300,000 for as a yearling. And when you watch the race, just a beautiful filly. I don't think the rest of these in here are world beaters, and they've been battling each other all year. I'm going to go with the new shooter and Look Forward in here.
I love it. One other thing too. What about that nice work he had on November 28th? 5 furlongs and 59.2. So yeah, bullet there. And my sincere condolences to anybody who knew Ben Cecil and his family. Very, very sad. But I love the pick though. Look Forward. I'm also jumping off the Bobby B train as well. Like you said it perfect. They've just been beating each other up, running against each other. I'm going to go with Aunt Mo here. I'm hoping to get a huge price. I'm taking a shot here for the Peter Urton Barn, who has been red hot, winning 7 of his last 17 starts, 41% 82% in the money in the last 45 days. You can find that on StatLines on the entries page. Nice Uncle Mo filly out of a Scat Daddy mare. Aunt Mo coming off a 9-length victory in maiden special weight at Del Mar November 10th, running a career best 93 Echo Base speed figure. Ran third by a couple lengths in her career debut to Practical Dream, the number 6 in here. Then ran second to Mawu, who was the number 2 in here. And then she finally goes to a route race and just absolutely romps. I mean, this filly just keeps getting better and better, increasing speed figures in all three starts. Umberto Rispoli gets the mount, replacing Hector Berrios in here. I think that's a positive. In the past 3 years, Rispoli and Burton went at 21% together, 5 wins from 24 starts, and really nice late pace rating as well, 97.5, which is ranked first in this race. I just don't think a lot of these horses will do well at this route distance. So there's a big opportunity for Aunt Moen here, taking a shot against Vaca with a twist, which is a twist because I really don't know what to do with that horse.
Well, yeah, I will say this. I like your Studley Do Right. I've been on Vaca with a twist in multiple races. Broken down so previously on this podcast, I had to take a stand against, even though she ran against the, you know, the champion Immersive in the last race.
Ran
a good second there and against the champion. So that would say, yeah, look, can run against anybody in the country. However, I just think that this is not the spot. Phil D'Amato.
Over 19
has not won a dirt route race at Los Al in the last three years. I went back and I looked at it as well. And, you know, he's only 8%, 3 of 37 overall at Los Al since January of 2023. So just not his favorite place to win races. He clearly can get it done. This horse could easily win this race. Let's just say that. But I'm going to take a stand against, I think you and I are both looking at somebody to kind of rock the boat as an up and comer and maybe not just these horses. So of the Baffords, which one did you give the longest look to?
Probably Mawu. Just because I think he's the only one of the bunch that will do well at this route distance. You know, he's 7 furlongs last time and was just surging at the end with a late gain, you know, and so now we're just, you know, what furlong in the quarter, you know, stretching out. So I think that Nooney, I don't know. You know, that was a pretty disappointing effort there, but, you know, 59 in that that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies.
I gave Tenma the highest look. Okay. And yeah. I'll tell you why. Because
the one who beat your Vodka with a twist.
I just gave it a longer look. Just like, okay, maybe Tenma can bounce back. I mean, look, Baffert has won this race how many times in a row? 7 now? Going to be 8 potentially if they can get it done on Saturday. If you can excuse the last race and you go back to that 7 furlong Del Mar debutante, that 93, look at the jock change. I mean, going to Juan for Baffert, who they win at an absurd amount together. Yeah.
They do
is the one where I said, okay, maybe you follow that jock wherever Juan lands with Baffert, you got to give that horse a long look. And so, you know, while I'm not going to go with Tenma of the Bafferts, I think the Juan Hernandez angle gives me the most confidence of his three charges in there.
I agree. What do you have, like 5 wins out of 6 starts or something on closing day, Juan Hernandez to take the title? So he's just been riding really well. I agree. I don't know, just the fact that as soon as he stretched out to over a mile, I mean, he is just kind of fading and weakening. And to me, that was like, I don't know about that.
Just did not look good coming down the stretch at all. But maybe something happened there we don't know about. But anyway, follow the Juan Hernandez angle with Bob Baffert and you usually catch.
That's fair. Yeah. Well, if you follow the Los Alamitos race course angle, even if he wins this race, his win percentage will go down.
I mean, that is an absurd stat. I've never seen anything like it, but
yeah, that's wild. But I love how we're both picking value, so I'm going with Aunt Mo, and Corey Patton is going with Look Forward. I love it. So that is our show for today. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for being on, Corey. Good luck in your wagers this weekend. We'll see you next week.